This is No BS Job Search Advice Radio. I'm Jeff Aupin, the Big Game Hunter. I'm an executive job search and leadership coach, as well as the head... As well as the head coach for JobSearchCoachingHQ.com. And welcome to episode 658 of the show. This is a... You know, normally on Fridays, I do a shorter show, but this is a longer one because many of you may wind up listening to this after you've been turned down on a final interview. And I want to give you some solutions for how to address and how to get better at final interviews and prepare yourself more effectively. I hope you find the show helpful, and let's get going. And I received a question from someone through Quora that was quite interesting that I'm going to share with you. And the headline is, I always get rejected in the final or pre-final phase of job interviews. What am I doing wrong? Basically, he describes a situation where, you know, he's been rejected 9 times already. And the last round, they asked him a simple question, you know, or simple questions like, what his hobbies were? And you know, he answers them with the best of his ability in a very soft manner. That's the way he languages it. I'm not making it up. So he talks in a soft manner. You know, he didn't know he made a mistake or what mistakes he's making, but ultimately he knows he's making mistakes because he's being rejected. So at another interview, he asks he's asked if he has any questions, and then he asks them, would you suggest in which areas I need improvement? And was told, be confident. So it begs a question, what's going wrong for him? And the answer is, and this could be a cultural thing, because I don't know the ethnicity of the person that's involved or of the hiring manager, but you know, the classic scenario is hiring manager is perceived as being powerful. Potential junior hire is on the power scale much lower, with the result being that power differential becomes very pronounced when a potential hire speaks in a soft manner. So imagine I'm talking to you in an interview and I'm speaking very softly, and the interpretation of the soft manner is lack of confidence. And understand there's one major thing, there's two major things that firms look for. Now, in my original article on this subject, I called it C times 5 equals PL, but I'm going to simplify it. Hopefully, a firm is looking for skills competence. After all, they are hiring someone to fill a particular role. What does this person know? What can they do that fits our job? So skills competence. Ultimately, the next thing that they're looking for is they want to be inspired that you're the solution to a need. Now, part of that is demonstrating your knowledge, but the second part of it is in your manner. And I'm going to illustrate mistakes by saying, you know, if you're not talking to them and you're kind of looking to a side, if you're not maintaining eye contact, if you're speaking softly, if your handshake is perceived as being gentle, and I'm obviously not talking about hand-breaking handshakes, but you know, if your manner doesn't make people feel confident that you know your subject, you'll be rejected. As much as you know, that's the extra ingredient. So I always tell people, don't ask that question. You know, where could I improve? Because you know where you could improve despite what you say. You brought in the subject of being soft-spoken for a reason. So understand that that's a variable that's in your control. It may take practice. It may take effort on your part. But I'll just relay a story from Toastmasters, the international speaking organization that I always encourage people to become involved with. The reason I do is that it's an opportunity to practice speaking. Now, it's It may be later in your career that you may be asked to present on a concept, but they have a function at Toastmasters that's called table topics, where you're asked to speak for 1 to 2 minutes extemporaneously on a subject. And you don't know what that subject is going to be until you ask the question. So the notion that you can practice speaking is a great opportunity. Because you'll be critiqued afterwards on that 1 to 2 minute speech that you gave. And they're very supporting. They always start off with praise for what you did, especially as a beginner, because they want to encourage you to keep working on your perceived deficiencies, and they want to teach you areas of improvement. You'll absorb these. You'll practice. You'll get better. So for the soft-spoken job hunter, who believes that the soft-spoken nature is holding them back on getting a job or on advancing in their new job, it's important to practice speaking, and speaking extemporaneously, because you're just asked to do that all the time. Someone asks you what you're doing, you're giving them a 30-second speech. You know, someone's asking how the project is going, you're giving a 45 to 1 minute speech. And what you're trying to do is communicate ideas to people that, you know, allow you to satisfy their interests, because their interests are either as your boss or someone that you're providing help to. So recognize that opportunity to speak and to practice speaking is so important for you and your career, because at the end of the day, even if you are hired, do you want to stay in the same job for the next 40 years of your life, 30 years of your life? It's a long time. And like I said, firms want to be inspired that you can be the solution to their need. So practice speaking up. Get to Toastmasters. Great story from there. There was a man who spoke at the International Gathering of Toastmasters. And he's an individual who had a stutter until the age of 4 and was from the Middle East. I want to say Saudi Arabia, but it could have been the Emirates. I apologize if I'm incorrect. And he gave an inspiring 10-minute speech that brought down the house. This is a tough audience at the international gatherings. But here's a man who couldn't speak and didn't speak until he was 4. You know, developmentally delayed. And he was funny. He was tender. And he clearly had control of a large room of people. And he won. You can achieve the same thing yourself. You can practice, because that's really what it involves. Practice. Practice getting better at what you do. Making the mistakes now when it's less costly. See, right now you may not get your first job or your second job because you're not well practiced. But do you really want to keep doing that? Of course not. You want to get better at things and not stay stuck in the same paradigm that you're in of being confined to certain types of opportunities because you don't perform well in situations where you're being judged by others. So get yourself out and about, practice speaking, think in terms of ways that you can communicate, that you can inspire confidence, and get better. So that's today's show. I hope you found it helpful. And if you did, here's a couple of ways that you can engage with me. The first one is connect with me on LinkedIn at linkedin.com/IN/thebiggamehunter. Mention when you reach out to connect that you listen to the show. I enjoy finding out who my fans are. Next, if you're an executive and you're interested in job search or leadership coaching, email me at jeffaltman@thebiggamehunter.us. In the subject line, put the phrase executive job search coaching or leadership coaching. I'd be happy to help you in either way. I want to be clear, I'm not a recruiter. I'm a coach helping you play bigger, having a set of eyes and ears on your circumstances so that you don't make mistakes that are costly. If you're not an executive, the best way to engage is with jobsearchcoachinghq.com. I have the best of my information there. Plus, you can ask me questions throughout your job search. I'll answer them. It'll help you. It'll help other people. There's going to be a community of individuals there that you can also get advice from. Again, jobsearchcoachinghq.com. I'll be back tomorrow with more. In the meantime, have a great day. Take care.